You might hear this timeless classic again at Mike's tonight.
Was this the first official Christmas song, like way back when, like 1895?
Charles Dickens put it in the Christmas Carol. And then Tiny Tim said,
"Hey, everybody.
Wang Chung tonight."
But yeah, before Merry Christmas to all of us or whatever. Everybody, Wang Chung.
You know, tonight. I got a text from a loyal listener of the show who was ticked off that we did a sing-along last time to Wang Chung and said, "You bastards, no one wants to hear you guys sing Wang Chung. We want to hear Wang Chung."
Frankly, that's the rare complaint from a listener I'll understand. I'll listen to.
In 15 minutes, we're going to hear Steelers Insider attempt to make the case for Matt Canada sticking around beyond this year. That was Canada today on the Pickens sideline outburst, saying, "We laugh about it. I want a guy that is competitive and wants the ball. We need to get him the ball." Went through that whole spiel.
Whole rigmarole, yes.
Yep. Here is another unanswerable question. Another thing Matt Canada was not held accountable for today. This one slipped through the cracks. I'm a little disappointed that our Steelers media brethren did not press Matt Canada on something. So he only had one catch, and it was on a design play that Ben Roethlisberger said they only got him the ball on that play because
they knew he was mad.
So ticked off. He's so upset at what's happening. Only threw it to him one other time. So we spent a lot of time the last few days talking about that. He is a star in the making, has freakish talents and abilities. How does George Pickens only get the ball thrown his way two times? But here's maybe the bigger question. I think it is, actually. George Pickens, against the Falcons, played fewer snaps than in any game he's appeared in this year. Now, think about this, Chris. For the majority of this year, they had another big physical wide receiver, Chase Claypool. They had better players at that position. They had, in theory, another wide receiver that if you wanted to go to a two wide receiver set, would have taken George Pickens off the field. This is the game where he played the least, the fewest snaps. Now, we know that George Pickens is a guy who's not against getting his nose dirty. We've seen cut-ups of him in the run game just destroying cornerbacks.
Yeah, Craig got, what, 5 million views?
5 million views, just picking him up like a rag doll and throwing these guys around the field.
Supposed to be one of his major calling cards. He abuses those dudes.
Right, so, yeah, their game plan for a big part of that game was to run the ball. That's why Gentry played so much. Gentry got a ton of snaps. He's a better blocking tight end than Freiermuth is. But that doesn't explain why Pickens was on the sideline so much. Was it because he was so emotional in the game and they thought he was a threat to do something stupid on the field, maybe take a personal foul penalty, do something after the whistle, say something, do something unsportsmanlike? I don't know.
Did they feel Deontay was more reliable if they were going to throw to a wide receiver? That's a little. I know he made a big catch late, but that's kind of weird.
Deontay Johnson played over 80% of the snaps. He was on the field way more than Pickens was in the game.
If you're going to run, the thing that sticks out the most is if you're going to run the ball a lot as part of the game plan, whether you think the guy might be mercurial enough, you know, to do something dumb or not, he's your best blocking wide receiver. He's an extra legitimate blocker out there. Furthermore, he had, the last time they gave him the ball on the ground, that Saints game, he had two carries. He got 23 yards out of him. If you're going to maybe throw a razzle-dazzle in there, don't you think you could run Pickens on a jet and maybe get some yardage because he's a big, physical, fast guy? I don't know. That was noticeable to me. They kept going out in those one wide receiver looks, the big, heavy 12 personnel or whatever. And it was Johnson every single time, it felt like, especially late in that game. Which leads me to think, to believe, they won't say it. Even if they had been asked about it, I don't think they'd cop to it. Was he being punished straight away?
Or worse yet,
did he mentally take himself out of it?
Or I was going to say, worse yet, did they feel like this is what we want to do against Atlanta's defense. The last few games, their run defense in Atlanta has been hemorrhaging yards, mm-hmm. been getting ripped up. This is what we're going to do. We ourselves have run the ball better. So in practice, we're going to work on this package where we go bigger. And the one wide receiver even in practice was Johnson. So maybe Pickens went into this game in a salty mood anyways. Like, well, I know this is going to be what we do a bunch in this game where we're running the ball and so I'm not even going to be on.
Yeah.
Like you are in that, and that's, I think this is why I say that's worse. In that scenario, you are purposefully scheming him to be less involved.
To be on the bench in yeah. his homecoming game.
So I could understand where it was, maybe there was something that was stuck in George Pickens' craw and he was annoyed before the game even started. Because he got the impression in practice during the week that it was going to be a big run-heavy game and they were going to play Watt more and they were going to bring Gentry in and he was going to be the wide receiver that was on the short end of the stick with that. Yeah.
He doesn't deserve to be. His physical size, his noted ability to block, and I just think his play, because when you're in those big formations, if you are going to take a shot downfield, right, as like sort of a, hey, we're disguising this by going heavy, but we are going to take a chance, I'd rather George Pickens be the one going up for the ball 35 yards down the field than Deontay Johnson.
I mean, you've got a lot. I'm looking at the snap count now. I pulled it up.
Played 44 snaps.
You've got a lot of snaps from down the line receivers.
How many did Sims get?
I was even going to say, let's just count Sims as their third slot guy.
Okay, how many did Gunner get?
Gunner got 18.
How many did
Miles Boykin got
get?
8.
Not on special teams, 8 offense.
8 offense.
Snaps.
That's 20.
So Gunner and Miles, 26 snaps.
That's 26 snaps to your fourth wide receiver and your fifth wide receiver in this game.
Guys who are not threats to do anything, really. Guys who the defense doesn't take seriously.
Dude, I
seriously.
Mean, like that's an that to you know me, what? That's an indictment on Canada almost more than anything else.
Well, if we believe Canada puts the game, do we believe he puts the game plan together almost by himself?
Well, yeah, well, that's been reported.
It's not his
assistant coaches don't get involved.
Maybe Mike Tomlin and Pickett are involved. Maybe Mike Sullivan.
But now he's
involved.
Listening to the players more. Maybe he's listening to them too much by getting too many of them involved.
I mean, I just think basic football 101 is don't keep your best players off the field more than you need to.
I mean, Donnie, you're a football guy. Does that make any sense to you? That of all the games this year, and there was no injury component, that this is the least amount of snaps, the fewest number of snaps for George Pickens in a game?
No, he should be playing more and more every week. Plus, with the run-blocking component, I know you guys brought up Craig's tweet that went viral. I mean, we have seen this guy put defenders on their asses a handful of times already in viral clips. I mean, the guy can block, and he can certainly do damage whenever he wants to, but it definitely doesn't make sense to me. Unless there is something behind the scenes that nobody knows, which people would know by now if it was the case, that he got in some sort of doghouse of his own, he should be playing more and more snaps every week no matter what the game plan is.
Well, if he's in a doghouse, then Tomlin's lying because he's making it sound like
he's in a penthouse.
Yep.
And us media folks
we love
are
that.
In the
we love that competitive part.
I thought George Pickens had that dog in him. People had that X-ray where there was a pit bull where his heart was supposed to be. What happened to that guy?
Man, the last two games, Gunner's snaps have gone way up, Chris.
Oh.
He's playing a lot more. Gunner.
That's like one of those things when they're trying to talk about the economy and they're like, the price of this and that has gone up, like this random specific item, and they go, uh-oh, batten down the hatches. It's a bad sign of what's to come. You know what they're going to say? Gunner's snaps went up and the offense looks better. I'm horrified. Horrified, I tell you.
Well, now it's almost like you set your watch by it. You know there's going to be at least one Gunner jet sweep in there.
Yeah, what's Gunner doing with those jets?
He had a 9-yard one against the Colts.
And then what did he do against the Falcons?
I don't think anything that's worth
writing. Two rushes, home. 2 yards.
So we've got a Steelers insider next. I'm going to ask him about this. Somebody who was at the game, why didn't Pickens play that much? Was it because he was getting disciplined? Was that just the game plan? 93.7 The Fan karaoke night at Mike's Beer Bar is at 7. If you're getting done with work, head down there, have a few beers with us, unless you're Crowley, who is abstaining tonight, teetotaler tonight. Last time at a station event, he drank too much and called a short person an elf.
Oh,
and so he got in a lot of trouble for that.
Wow.
So he doesn't want to do it again. So he's not going to drink anything.
No, not an actual.
So peer
like,
pressure him
person.
Into drinking and then saying something that gets him fired tonight at Mike's.
Why are you doing this?
No, why not? I like to stir it up.
Well, it never comes back to you, it seems.
I think it's another valuable lesson not to ever tell anything to Pony that you don't want out there.
But we also already have one of the karaoke's. I guess there was one to tune up the crowd that's already happened down there.
Oh, boy.
And we got the audio sent back from it.
Who sang it?
I'm not going to say.
When do we hear it?
In a few minutes.
Good enough.
Fan Hotline's presented by Nemacolin. Around every corner, Nemacolin creates real-life magic for guests. Steelers insider, Mike DeFabo, trying to get me to jump off a bridge.
Now you've got our listeners' ears perked up.
Mike is writing an article, or did write an article, about how Matt Canada could be back next year. Why did you do that?
Well, because I think that as much as a big portion of the fan base, and obviously you, don't want to even listen to that question, I think it's worth acknowledging the fact that there is a chance that Matt Canada's back next year. I mean, I think that you have to consider the circumstances here that he walked into with a young quarterback and all the new pieces, and also consider the fact that they have made improvements. I mean, I'm not saying by any means that if I were making the decisions that I would, you know, say that Matt Canada should be back, or that would be my vote if this was a democratic process. What I'm saying is that if you acknowledge the fact that the Steelers are a team in a franchise that traditionally gives coaches a longer leash, they're a franchise that typically is more patient, and given that there has been progress the last couple games, and it seems like he has a good working relationship with Kenny Pickett, it's at least worth asking that question and at least wondering, is there a possibility that depending how these last couple games go, that Matt Canada could make a case that he should be retained?
If he was up for this, like right now, if it was before this next game, Steelers have to make a decision, keep him or move on and look for somebody new. What do you think they would do, Mike?
I mean, look at what they did into the bye week. Everyone thought that, okay, that was a natural time to make a change, and they didn't. So, I mean, I think that they would probably – I mean, are you asking me, would they keep him next year, like if the season ended today?
Yeah, if the season ended right now, and this was his body of work.
Yes, if last game was week 18.
Right.
I think that he still would need to prove more. I mean, if I were making the calls, and this is not, you know, Art Rooney is not over my shoulder right now telling me this. This is me just kind of speculating on what I would do. I think that he needs to continue to show development and progress, especially with Kenny Pickett,
And
continue to see that that connection and that bond is growing. Because here's the biggest thing. The biggest question and the only thing worth playing for this year, for the most part, is Kenny Pickett's development. And if you continue to make progress and you feel like Kenny Pickett has a great grasp on this offense, he has a good relationship with Matt Canada, and then you make a change, you know, there is going to be a learning curve. Whether that learning curve can be overcome just in training camp and Latrobe in the preseason, or if that stretches into this year, you know, that remains to be seen. And so I think that if Matt Canada and Kenny Pickett continue to produce well and, you know, continue to make strides, and by the end of the season it's looking like a different offense that's coming around, I think that there would be a case, certainly, that people would have to at least consider.
Yeah, I've considered it. Now I'm ready to
move on.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I would do. Do you want my opinion on what I would do if I were calling the shots?
Yes.
I would like, because here's the problem with offenses. It's very difficult to isolate one variable in a complex equation, right? You know, is it the progress? Is it Kenny Pickett that's improving, or is it the offense as a whole? Is it the players understanding Matt Canada's system better? So, I mean, personally, what I would do is go get an offensive coordinator who's proven, and you know that he can coordinate things. You know that he's had success in the NFL. So then if Kenny Pickett does not do well, you know the reason. You've had a guy that you've removed one of the variables. You know that the commodity is the offensive coordinator, and he's had success in the past. You don't really know that with Matt
Canada. Okay, so it sounds like you, as a beat writer who's around the team and is up close, think – your personal opinion, get someone that's got a better track record. But it sounds like the point of this story was, knowing the Steelers, you feel like they're showing the signs of life that will keep him employed beyond this year. There's your opinion, and then there's you as a reporter. And it sounds like Mike DeFabo as a reporter thinks, gun to your head, Canada would be back next year.
Gun to my head, I think that if he continues to show progress, and I think that if things continue to trend this direction, I think that it's going to be seriously considered. And look, again, I'll say it again. It's not a democratic process, because if it was, then...
So who makes the decision, Tomlin? Yeah.
Is this a Tomlin call or is this an Art Rooney call?
You know how they'd answer that question. They would say it's a Steelers decision. I'm sure that everybody kind of has a voice in that. And the other person that I think should have a voice in it is Kenny Pickett. I think that they should pull him aside. I mean, he has to be professional throughout the rest of the season and say, legitimately, how is your relationship? Let's speak openly. Nothing that you say here leaves this room. And truly get his input. You know, are you telling reporters that you have a great relationship with him? Because that's the thing to say. Or how do you really feel about this dynamic? And I think that that definitely should be weighed as they go forward.
All right, Mike, before we brought you on, one of the things that Chris and I were discussing was everyone has been so obsessed with Pickens only getting two targets and one ball on that very much forced quick out because he was upset. And that's been the focus for days. Why didn't the guy play more against Atlanta? Why was his snap count the lowest of the season? His snap count should have been lower when he was still learning the offense and Chase Claypool was around, when he was maybe technically third on their depth chart. Now Claypool's gone, and his snap count was the lowest it had been all year. You were there. Why wasn't Pickens more involved, even from just being out there as a threat, Mike?
No, I think that that's a good question for sure. I mean, I have my questions as well about when you're down by the goal line and you choose to throw a fade to Deontay Johnson versus throwing it to the big guy who can win the 50-50 balls. There's certainly, you could ask questions about his usage and if he should, you know, be utilized or featured more in the offense. And I absolutely think he should. And I think it was kind of ironic that soon after he complained, it actually worked. And then they threw him
a squeaky wheel theory.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I think that it is important to feel like playmakers are involved in the offense, and there's momentum. Momentum is a real thing for these guys. So I absolutely think that coming into this next week, you know, they're saying all the right things, but I think that they should give him a handoff like they did a couple weeks ago, where it seemed like he was kind of taking the Chase Claypool jet.
Do you think they will do that, Mike? Do you think their script early on in that game is going to be Pickens heavy come hell or high water?
No, I don't think that they're going to be looking out for anybody's feelings. I think they're going to do whatever they think is going to help them win the football game. But I think those should be the same thing. I think that Pickens is emerging as one of your most talented offensive pieces, and as such, he should definitely
Mike,
be a featured piece.
When you consider that Matt Canada said, like, it's starting to click for these guys, it's starting to make sense, everybody gets along in here, do you buy it? Like, just from what you're able to glean from your reporting, when the offensive coordinator more or less strikes a tone of kumbaya, everybody gets along, don't sweat this, is he full of it, or is that backed up by what you see, what you hear, who you talk to, et cetera?
No, I think that it is. I think that as Kenny Pickett has become more comfortable in the offense, he's showing his natural skill set. And everyone had talked about how he has this natural leadership quality about him and can inspire guys. And it's tough when you're brand new and you're not having success to really be that guy that says, all right, everybody follow me and I'll lead you there. But now that he is starting to get a better grasp on the offense, I am seeing more of that. And I think that as, you know, these relationships continue to develop, he'll be able to have these candid conversations with George Pickens, and he'll be able to, you know, have discussions with other guys within the offense. But I mean, I think that a lot of guys on the offense are frustrated because they've underperformed. Like, to a man, I think it would be difficult, other than maybe Pat Freiermuth, to name a player that has been satisfied with their offensive production this year.
Well, doesn't that go back on Canada? I mean, he was talking today about how many great players they had and how it makes his job so hard to keep them all happy. Well, then why are you down near the bottom of the league in, like, every meaningful offensive stat, Matt?
Right. No, you make a good point there. Absolutely. When you know, they've paid the defense heavily, but they've also invested heavily in draft capital on the offensive side of the ball. And, you know, with a first-round running back, a second-round wide receiver, first-round quarterback, second-round tight end. I mean, that's a lot of draft capital at skill position players, and I would think that that's more than enough to put together a better offense than what they've done so far.
Mike, what do you think it says about Adam Crowley that he can't even have a drink at a station event anymore because he thinks he's going to run his mouth and say something that gets him fired?
It says that maybe you guys made a bad hire. And maybe that's your mistake for hiring the WVU guy. It's kind of on brand that the WVU guy is the one that's a little too worried about getting hammered and saying something inappropriate, right?
I think we can end on
Mike,
that.
I think
note.
We got our money's worth in this interview. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Well, me and Crowley are buddies. Let me just say, first of all, that when you guys invited me, let me say on this karaoke event, I assumed that it was like me and Crowley going out and drinking and going to karaoke, and then here I come to find out I'm supposed to actually sing a song. And
what's your go-to? I know you have a go-to. What is it?
You're going to have to wait and see. I've got a banger. Wait till you see what I sing.
We're going to sing Wang Chung.
I can't wait. It's going to be electric.
All right, Mike will be there. Mike DeFabo, another reason to show up.